Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
So I went to the ophthalmologist for my eye exam. He says, what are you doing? And I told him about Balance of Nature. He says, well, whatever you're doing, keep it up.
Every year I go in and see my doctor. She says, whatever I'm doing, it's working.
Just had my physical, and the doctor says, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. So
my primary doctor, she couldn't get over how much better I was doing. She said she'd never seen anything like it.
Here's a product from Balance of Nature that basically makes it so you get the nutrient equivalent of eating 10 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. For the patients that I have taking it, it's been phenomenal.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
1111.
Hi, everybody. Go to the bottom of my homepage. You're going to see an ad for Z-Stack, Dr. Zelenko's new vitamin supplement that combines zinc, quercetin, vitamin C, and vitamin D. All of those things that we talk about on the show, he has combined them into one supplement. Dr. Zelenko is a board-certified physician in New York. He was the one that gave ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine to Trump and told him about that, and he was really the guy that started the frontline doctors. Dr. Zelenko formulated the Support Your Immune Function supplement. Zinc, quercetin, vitamin C, and vitamin D. Take this every day. This is a great combination of a supplement that you can take of all the things we talk about on the show. This is an amazing product to keep you well, and make sure that you go get this. This is also manufactured in the USA. Head and order this. Go to the bottom of my homepage at katedalyradio.com.
At last, the Constitution is finished. But if a super duper big tragedy happens, this entire document goes out the window. Said no founding father ever. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Hello, everyone. This is Lavoy Finscombe, One Cowboy Stand for Freedom. What I'm standing for is I'm standing for freedom. I'm standing for the liberty for the individual American. I want my children to grow up in a free country. We've lost our freedoms. We've lost our Constitution. The federal government is enmeshed and entwined in almost every aspect of our life. When the federal government begins to refuse to be confined by the laws of the land, by the supreme law of the land, our Constitution, it's up to you know, our politicians and the courts to check it. But they haven't, and they're actually part of the problem. They've continued to grow the power and draw power into a central government. And when a central government begins to overreach its bounds, then the states, the individual states, are supposed to stand up and check the federal government. And they haven't. And so what happens when these balances of power, these checks in our government, are no longer working? The last remedy for freedom rests in the individual Americans. The individual American has to stand up for liberty. They need to understand the Constitution. They need to understand what liberty is, what freedom means.
Those were the words of Lavoy Finicum. He was murdered by the FBI, shot in the back. And it was the worst. The worst. It was so awful. And that was in 2016. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show, and I'll forever play his words. What a just a righteous guy he was. What a neat man who was very educated, and they really wanted to get rid of him, so they put a team on him to murder him as he was rounding a corner trying to escape to a sheriff for safety. FBI took him out, murdered him. Welcome back to the show. I have Sarah Monet with me, and we are talking about her near-death experience from 1979. What's interesting about Sarah's book, and by the way, the new one is called Death, A New Beginning by Sarah Monet. And what's interesting is this is the one that stuck with me. There have been a few that have just really stuck with me, and I've remembered them. And after reading them, horrified when I read it because it was scary. At the same time, she saw a lot of things like the towers fall. So if you're just joining us, she saw that back in 1979. So when they fell, I can't even imagine her face as she's probably watching that on TV. But Sarah, welcome to the show. How can people get your new book, Death, A New Beginning, that takes this experience and then expands as well?
They would have to call my publisher, and I can give that number.
Okay.
Because it's not in the stores yet.
Right.
It just barely came out.
Okay.
It's 801-368-7103.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Death, A New Beginning by Sarah Monet. Your experience has been read all over the world. You give speeches on this. You go and you talk to people about heaven, about what you saw. And we talked in the last hour, if you're just joining us in this hour, about nuclear war, a earthquake happening from east to west, all the way split across the country.
Famine.
And what's that?
Famine.
Famine, where people are digging in the dirt for worms, for food, and gold and silver only lasting a little while in that interim, but food, obviously, that, I mean, when you don't have food, you don't have food, and you'll see people go crazy, and then also gangs take over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just kind of getting people up to speed. You saw New York wiped out. You saw Salt Lake City hit, L.A. hit. You saw nuclear war in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people fleeing to the mountains for safety.
Yes.
Wow. And cities of light everywhere. The Native Americans have some stories. The Native Americans down in the eastern region have some stories that there will be, how many cities, was it like 11 places in the mountains to go and a place in the middle of the country that you can go for safety that would actually be helped by God, and that those that were going around and murdering and everything else, they would be safe from those gangs in those cities. And so I find it kind of interesting that your near death kind of correlates along with the experience from those Native Americans, the stories they hand down through their medicine men and their tribes. But talk to me a little bit about what you saw in heaven. You had attempted suicide.
Well, it's a total day and night from from Earth life, and it was in the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
And it is beyond description of beauty, and the people that are there, most of them are dressed in all white, or they have soft pastel robes wearing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's amazingly beautiful and peaceful and radiates love with every breath you take. It's amazing. I can't find mortal words really to describe what it's like, and the love of the people between each other. It's just something I wish we had now.
Were there family there to greet you? You had attempted suicide, and so I want to let people know that you were pronounced dead, but you did not die. You remember this experience like it was yesterday. Were there people there to greet you, your family?
I was there for a few moments, and mm-hmm. then a woman, a beautiful woman, approached me and from behind, and I turned around, and I wanted to say, she called me by name, and I wanted to say, how do you know my name? But I was stopped from saying too much more, and I discovered about 3 or 4 years after my near-death experience that it was my grandmother, Sarah. That's why I changed my name to Sarah.
Wow.
I took on her name. Yeah, but I didn't know who she was at the time when she said, Linnell, what mm-hmm. are you doing here? You can't stay. You have to go back. And then I had this pulling sensation that pulled me into a place I would call hell. And the reason that I had to experience that after seeing this beautiful, amazing spirit world was because my father was there, and I needed to have that experience so that I could forgive him for what he had done to my family, to what he had done to all of us.
Wow.
And that took that sword of hate out of my hand when I saw how he was suffering there.
Wow. What else did you see there?
In spirit prison?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was very dark. As you moved about there, it felt like you were pushing through thick whipped cream. You could hear the cries of people, sounded like tortured animals. It was pretty horrifying. It was terrible. And I wouldn't wish that on the worst person in the world to have to go to that. But I had to go there in order to see my father. But it was day and night between spirit prison and the spirit world, which was full of light and full of peace and love and everything else.
Did your forgiveness free him? Did you notice what it had done for him?
Yes, and it does. I think these people just showed up to do my little doggy.
I'm sorry.
Yes, it does free them. It does free them for you to forgive, because they're stuck in kind of a limbo until you're able to forgive, and then they can move forward.
Wow.
I'm going to see if I can lock her up.
Wow, that's okay.
She's helping the show.
Yeah, she is, yeah. There's so much I want to ask you about this whole experience, but... So as you went up, and this woman, like you said, you didn't know who she was at the time. Now you know who she is.
Hold on. I didn't get to hear that. I'm sorry.
Okay. So
I'm going to lock her up.
Okay. As you went up and saw that, was she the one that sort of guided you through this experience?
Oh, I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay.
Let me see if I can... Hi, honey. Would you help me?
Okay. All right. So she's taking care of that for a second. My biggest, I think, you know, is who guided her through seeing all of that, and was the most of her time spent doing, you know, walking through and seeing all these visions of things to come. All right. Are you there with us?
Yes, okay. I am. I'm sorry.
Okay. So was she the woman that kind of guided you through all this, or were you on your own when you were seeing all of the stuff that happens to us?
No, I was on my own.
Okay. And then as you were seeing these things, like you said, I thought there was like an order to them as you discussed them, but you say that it happened all at once?
Possibly? Well, I could see it all at once.
I see.
One thing at a time, yes.
Okay.
And I can remember going back one thing at a time, but at the time it was just everything at once.
Anything else you want to tell us about what hell felt like and looked like?
Oh, it's a lot of crying, weeping, regret, anger. You have to work through all of that in order to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
In order to move forward, you have to be able to let go of of your hate, your disappointment, your everything has to be gone.
Wow. Have you had?
And they have to stay there until they figure it out.
Jeez. Anything particular to suicide? Anything that
it's not what we're supposed to do. You take all those feelings and those hurts and everything with you. It doesn't just magically disappear when you get there.
Jeez.
You take it all with you.
Right.
And you have to work through it.
Right. Up in the spiritual world, you saw buildings. You saw people active, busy?
Yes, beautiful buildings. Beautiful buildings like Hearst Castle. Beautiful buildings, beautiful streets with no dirt, no cars, of course.
Right.
Nothing like that. But just a very beautiful city with everybody going about just full of love and happy, and it's something to really look forward to.
Did you notice anyone else from your family?
Well, I did get to see my father in spirit prison, but not in paradise, not in the spirit world.
Were you able to talk with him or no?
No, it's done telepathically, but telepathically he said that he was sorry and... would I forgive him? And that was about the most part of the conversation. It was very quick.
Wow.
But I could see the suffering was terrible.
Was there.
And
I'll be right back with Sarah Monet. Don't go anywhere. We're talking about her near-death experience from 1979. Be right back. Hi, Hi, everyone. It's Kate. I just wanted to mention MyPillow.com to you. You know, there's a lot of holidays and weddings and all kinds of things that we buy gifts for, and not to mention us. We buy things for ourselves. This is the best company for bedding. I mean, from everything from dog beds to pillows to sheets to towels to stopping snoring. I mean, get the green pillow, get the blue pillow label from MyPillow.com. What an amazing company this is. And Mike Lindell is doing a heck of a job trying to inform everybody about the election fraud and actually have the proof there and show the proof behind election fraud. Also, frankspeech.com. It's a censor-free Facebook. Go to MyPillow.com or you can call the number 800-873-1052. And make sure that you are ordering. Put in the code Kate. Get up to 40% off now. Oh my gosh, you guys, the products are that good. I'm telling you, I was shocked by them. I was seriously shocked. Make sure you support the show, Truth and Radio, Mike Lindell, and you're going to get great products. It's a great threefer. Not a twofer, a threefer. Go to MyPillow.com and get up to 40% off right now. Do it. Thanks, you. Hi, everybody. This is Kate. Hey, go to preparewithkate.com. Right now, you can get some food storage in your home, and you can get such a savings on it. You can get a three-month supply with $150 off, or you can get a four-day supply for $297. There's some great deals right now, and the best part is you can actually pay over time, but get it in your house right now. So I'm really letting you guys know, preparewithkate.com. It puts you right into Patriot Supply. They're a fantastic company with fantastic products. And I urge you to go ahead and get some food now as prices are going to be doubling and scarcity is going to be happening. So please get some food under your roof. Preparewithkate.com. Thanks, guys.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. I think these shows are so important. I really do. And I feel really impressed to do these shows a lot more. I think that what Sarah brings to this conversation is maybe a little reminder as well, or maybe an enlightenment to, wow, these things could really take place. She saw things that are already took place long before they were set to happen, and like 9/11. And Sarah's with me, and somebody contacted me and said you can get the book at Abysmal.
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, abysmal.com, or you can call what number, because it just came out, and it's hardly anywhere yet, but you can actually call the publisher. What was the publisher's number?
It's 801-368-7103.
Okay. You visit a lot of areas. And by the way, before we keep going, I just wanted to mention, please go to preparewithkate.com and get some food, please. And just make payments on it. And if the government was to collapse, well, it looks like you got some food under your house. Do something to make sure you actually have the physical food, though, and don't wait as we're going into shortages upon shortages upon shortages. You don't see this getting any better, do you?
Do I?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, it's going to continue to get worse.
And worse.
Crops are failing. Mm-hmm. They can't get fertilizer for their crops. I mean, we're seeing it happen so slowly that people would be shocked.
I think so, too.
It seemed like it was overnight.
Wow. So you saw a civil war happen, too. We'll talk about heaven as well, but you saw a civil war happen, blacks versus whites. I guess they drummed up enough in our faces for hundreds of years that we all hate each other, that maybe it worked, and you see a civil war.
Yeah, the government is contributing to that.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get both races to hate each other and to fight against each other. It's just building. It's gradually building, and it's going to reach a peak to where, there will be this another civil war in our country.
When you were seeing all these things play out, did you want it to stop because it was so shocking, or were you naturally curious to kind of go through all these things? What was happening to you when you were seeing all these things happen to the United States?
Not curious. I was sickened by what I saw, everything that I saw.
Yeah.
And there was so much coming to me at once, horrible things and terrible things, and even people eating their children. I mean, it gets so bad. This is why having preparation is not crazy. It's one of the smartest things that people can do.
Yeah, I agree.
Be physically prepared, to have food prepared. And it just makes sense. It's happened throughout the centuries where people can't get food.
Yeah. Did you have any impressions about time frame? I know I've had some people on the show that have talked about the 2030s being extraordinarily difficult to get through, and we face so many calamities during the 2030s. Their thoughts and impressions were around the 2030s. Any thoughts on that you've even had recently about, because I know you've received so many thoughts and impressions since this experience, this near-death experience that you had. Any thoughts on timeline? At all?
Well, I think we're in it. I think it's happening. It's going to build from where we're at right now. It's
right.
going to continue to build. And people need to be prepared spiritually and physically.
Right.
Because God isn't going to rain down manna to those who have not been doing what they're supposed to be doing. He's told us throughout the scriptures, throughout the Bible, throughout the scriptures, that we need to be prepared with food. It's very important.
Right.
That, but it's not the most important thing. It's the way we treat each other, how we treat our fellow man and everything is what's going to be most important. Because God can provide food for the people when they're living righteously, when they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Wow. What about the cities of light? What did you notice about the makeup of the people there? What did you notice about those cities? What struck you?
Well, that people loved each other. They cared more about each other than they did for themselves. And so when everybody behaves like that, it's a little utopia. It's wonderful. It's like, not like, oh, I'm the most important person. I need to have more food than you have. Or it's freely giving to others and making sure that they have what they need.
Wow. Nice.
And I've actually done things like that. The last year or so, I had about 22 years of food storage, and I have 3 years left for myself, and I gave the rest of it to people that didn't have it.
Wow. Wow.
And that's what we do. That's what we're supposed to do.
You know, I want to mention something about Sarah. She doesn't get money for this book that she wrote. She doesn't take money for the lectures. She doesn't make any money, and she doesn't want to. You don't want to make money. This isn't about money for you.
No, I live on disability, and I have enough sufficient for my needs, and I don't need anything else.
Wow. You know how extraordinary that is, though, in this day and time? It really is. It's hard to find. It really, truly is. That actually blew my mind when I was talking to you, because I think it's extraordinary. And it tells you a lot about you and this information and trying to get this information out. You were shown this for a reason. When you were shown this, did you feel like the reason you were shown was to tell people? I mean, that was the sole reason?
Yeah, it is the reason, because I have influenced thousands of people actually throughout the world. In Italy, well, this has been years and years ago, but a lady called me from Italy and said, you saved so many people's lives here in Italy because it was something that I had written or something that they had read that I had done. And all of the people there were putting away food storage. And then something really terrible happened there. And they were all able to survive. They were able to make it through whatever happened. I mean, there's been a lot of things like that. But
wow.
Yeah, it's, you know, I feel like I am a voice of warning. And I do lectures many times. And I've done radio shows with K-Talk years ago and warned and warned. And here we are at that point where it's going to get weird out there. It's not going to be like it has been. And the number one thing is just our love for our fellow man, not stocking up a bunch of food so that we can eat. We have to make sure that others can too.
So true. That's very, very true. Going back to also your near-death experience, you noticed a missile flying from Libya and hit Israel. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you were looking at the Middle East, and you didn't know a whole lot about world, maybe world politics going on, but that struck you, that there was some things going on in the Middle East. Did that kind of start things, or was that, do you think that was more into the experience of what you had, what you were shown?
It was into the experience and what I saw, because I didn't know where Israel was or where Libya was or anything like that. I still couldn't point it out without a map. I couldn't tell you.
Right.
But intuitively, in my mind, I could see all of it.
Wow. Wow. I know that you saw, it wasn't, there was a lot coming, not from missiles, but from ground bombs. Yes? Interesting. You talked about suitcases.
Yes,
with bombs.
Suitcase bombs. Yes. I saw that like through New York, Chicago, through L.A., those major big cities, the suitcase bombs.
Wow. And you saw 9/11. You saw the financial collapse. Yes.
Oh, and another one is on the way, too.
Yes,
a big one.
Yes,
a bigger one.
A bigger one with digital currency. Did you see digital currency coming in?
No, I don't even know what that is.
Okay. And few had money at all, or
right.
bank accounts just wiped out?
Right. Yes.
Commerce ceased?
Yes.
Jeez.
Nobody will be able to buy commodities or anything, because food is the most important thing right there. Is you can't eat gold or silver or TVs or anything else. The food is very important.
Jeez. You saw an EMP attack.
Yes.
What did you see?
Well, the whole grid situation goes down to where there's no electricity, no lights, no phones, none of that that's supplied by that. It's all gone.
No communication of any kind?
No.
This is why we always tell people, get walkie-talkies and maybe get some solar-powered things, because everything has solar power components to it. You can buy solar power. Might be the only thing that works, maybe?
Well, that's until the Earth is covered with darkness, which it will be. I do believe that a huge volcano is going to erupt, and that will blacken the skies clear from above Idaho, clear down to, I mean, even to Cedar City and further, that the skies will be blackened and nothing will be growing.
Interesting.
No food will be growing.
Wow. And as you were watching this, you went back over to Middle East and Israel. You saw the same diseases that had been coming from a jar somebody put in like the middle of a city. You saw worldwide that happen, and a long winter.
Yes, a deadly winter, and it starts like in the beginning of November and doesn't end clear up until nearly summer.
Wow. And
it is bad.
So this in addition to storms and droughts and floods and other things that you saw, and you said the sense of time wasn't very clear on some of those things, but wow, you saw chaos, anarchy, this long winter, and what do you do? You know, what do you do when you're faced with gangs? And this is why we talk about those stories from Bosnia, because there were certain things they did, and they maneuvered more at night so they couldn't be seen. You know, there's like a lot of things that we could probably do right now to prepare if that were the case. Anything else you want people to know, Sarah? And by the way, the book, Death, A New Beginning, you can get. This is the new revamped version of this with maybe some extensions to it. Anything else you want people to know?
Oh, well, number one, they have to have God in their lives and live by that, not just be Sunday worshipers only, but have it be a part of your everyday life, every minute of your life. In order to really survive all the things that are coming, we need to have the power of God to help us make it through. We can't just do it on our own. And we need to have the idea that we're going to help others as much as what we want to have done for us or to us. We need to do that to everybody else, to care about them as much as we care about ourselves.
I know you saw tsunamis, tidal waves hit certain places, big walls of water, 20 feet high. A lot of friends of mine in California have been feeling this way, like there's something coming.
California and New York, all along the coast of the east,
mm-hmm.
and the west is just annihilated. Oregon and San Francisco and clear down to the Los Angeles area. The ocean is going to leap out beyond its bounds and wash most of it away.
Jeez. Sarah, I thank you for coming on today. I really do.
Oh, thank you.
Really
thank
appreciate
you for the opportunity.
Always a pleasure and a much needed show to kind of give us that big kick in the pants reminder that we need to be preparing right now. I know people want things to just go back to normal. They're not going back to normal. So I thank
no,
you.
No, they're not.
Sadly. But that doesn't mean we can't prepare. We won't find joy. We will. We just have to be able to prepare for these things. Sarah Monet,
yes.
Thank you. Death, a
thank
new beginning.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Really appreciate you. I'll be right back and I'll take your calls.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I was just a kid. I was always trying to do everything he did. I can still remember every lesson he taught me, growing up, learning how to be like my old man.
Love this song. This was Zac Brown Band. Big thank you to Sarah for coming on and sharing such a personal experience. The book, Death, A New Beginning, I think you can go to abysmal.com and get that book. It's brand new, so you won't find that one on Amazon. But her book, her experience that she wrote down from 1979 even talked about some sort of something coming from space that causes wind storms so severe that people were hiding in the mountains and in cracks in the mountains. And she talks about volcanoes, earthquakes, all kinds of things that happen. But, you know, I think one of her biggest messages is don't be scared of all of that. Just remember how you're going to treat people and that you're going to stand up for God. And that means that even in this day and age right now, because this really was one of her largest messages, is all of the things that are happening right now, people are tending to be more quiet because they think society is going in this cultural revolution that's tanking our country. And if you say something, then you're the one that gets all the garbage from people, right? Because you're not going along with the love is love and all this kind of stuff that's going on out in the world. And you must stand up for good parenting, right and wrong, God. If, I swear to you, if there's anything that this show, that my hope and prayer about this show does, is not only expose who the enemy is, and I think we greatly underestimate Satan, and I think he is behind the governments, how they interact and everything else with the people. Because that's the power in central control. So he'll be right there along with that. But it's to hopefully make sure that people realize how badly they need God in their lives and how badly they need to be able to hear him. Because when you're living right, I think that you have the ability to hear those things and those messages and maybe can get out of some of these situations before they happen. I think that God wants to protect people. But you have to be able to hear him. And if there's anything this show can do, after I'm long gone, I hope it was that. I hope it was seeing who the enemy is, not stop underestimating Satan, and to start seeing what the only way out of this is to bring peace and happiness. Because I get asked this when I'm a guest on other shows is, how do you remain so positive? You know, even the Alex Jones Show asks me all the time, the producers, how do you stay so positive? Well, because I have faith in God. That gives me all the hope I need. What else is there? Truly, God and my family. That's it, right? It's going to be how we treat each other. So I'm so grateful for that. Truly, I am. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kate, Mike.
Hey.
Great interview.
Thanks.
Thank you for having her on.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, scary, but needed.
Well, I don't have any fear about it because, let me go back. I also listened to Rick Wiles, True News, mm-hmm. and you know, a few months ago, he had a vision, mm-hmm. and he relayed to that the way to get what is coming is to be to exactly what Sarah was saying is to give away, to be generous, mm-hmm. to not, you know, be hoarding in the sense of
right
just to, you know, and you can draw on the old analogy of the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee has an input and an output, where mm-hmm. the Dead Sea only has input, and the Sea of Galilee has, you know, is flourishing. So I would just say that runs counter to everything about prepping, right?
Right.
You know, we're supposed to prep and have mm-hmm. our stuff and not tell anyone and things like that.
Right.
But I would also draw from, you know, Corrie Ten Boom, Schindler's List. It's the people that gave of themselves and mm-hmm. had a mindset to serve others, no right. matter the cost.
Right.
That we'll remember forever.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And that's what Jesus did. You know, he gave himself.
Right.
So I don't mean to be preachy about it, but I think
it's great.
That's the big lesson I got from what she said today.
Yeah. Me too. Hands down. Thank you so much for calling in, Mike. Really appreciate it.
You got it.
So I think along the same lines, and I do think when people are prepping, and you should be right now, you should be gathering food for your family. Who are you gathering it for? Mostly for your family and friends that you know aren't. Right? Right? Because you don't want to be in a situation where you don't have anything to give them. I'd hate to be in that situation. And I would hate to be in a situation where I ever had to say no to somebody. And I don't know if I would say no, because I don't think I could. And so right now is a great time to... And I don't even know if I'd call it hoarding. I think it's just preparing. It's just kind of like in the scriptures, preparing for the 7 years. Prepare, 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 so that you can help others, right? I know the intention behind that is to help other people. That's why you're doing it. You want to make sure your family is fed, your friends, your extended family. I get it. So important. Very interesting. And I love that she talked about what she talked about in seeing heaven and hell and understanding a little bit more about forgiveness and things like that. Very powerful lessons, don't you think? Wow. I can't imagine seeing all of that take place and the atrocities, women, you know, and men, you know, even eating their own children, the hunger and everything else. Right now we have the ability to kind of step out, look at what she saw. She even saw the towers fall before they happened, and really understand that we can do a lot right now to help ourselves. So let's do. Let's do, right? Also, I wanted to play this from Jordan Peterson. I thought it was very unique. And so listen, because what he's about to say, he's talking about fathers, but he's talking about a lot of different things inside this message. He calls it the spirit of the father. But listen to this. Very, very, very interesting. This is Jordan Peterson.
There's the father that you have, and that's a human being, that's a man like other men, a man among men. But then there's the father as such, and that's the spirit of the father. And insofar as you have a father, you have both at the same time. You have the personal father that's a man among other men, just like anyone else's father. But insofar as that man is your father, that means that he's something different than just another person. And what he is the incarnation of the spirit of the father. And to see that, to take it to what? To disrespect that carelessly. Like Noah makes a mistake, right? He produces wine and gets himself drunk. And you might say, well, you know, if he's sprawled out there for everyone to see, it's hardly Ham's fault if he stumbles across him. But the book is laying out a danger. And the danger is that, well, maybe you catch your father at his most vulnerable moment, and if you're disrespectful, then you transgress against the spirit of the father. And if you transgress against the spirit of father and lose respect for the spirit of the father, then that is likely to transform you into a slave. That's a very interesting idea, and I think it's particularly interesting, maybe not particularly interesting, but it's particularly germane, I think, to our current cultural situation, because I think that we're pushed constantly to see the nakedness of our father, so to speak, because of the intense criticism that's directed towards our culture. We're constantly exposing its weaknesses and vulnerabilities and, let's say, nakedness. And there's nothing wrong with criticism, but the thing about criticism is the purpose of criticism is to separate the wheat from the chaff. It's not to burn everything to the ground, right? It's to say, well, we're going to carefully look at this. We're going to carefully differentiate. We're going to keep what's good, and we're going to move away from what's bad. But the point of the criticism isn't to identify everything as bad. It's to separate what's good from what's bad so that you can retain what's good and move towards it. And to be careless at that is deadly, because you're inhabited by the spirit of the Father. Insofar as you're a cultural construction, then you're inhabited by the spirit of the Father. And to be disrespectful towards that means to undermine the very structure that makes you not all of what you are, certainly not all of what you are, but a good portion of what you are, insofar as you're a socialized cultural entity. And if you pull out the... if you pull the foundation out from underneath that, what do you have left? You can hardly manage on your own. You know, it's just not possible. You're a cultural creation. And it does seem to me that anyone who lives in the West, in the Western culture at this time in history and in this place, and who isn't simultaneously grateful for that is half blind, at least, because it's never been better than this. And it could be so much worse. And it's highly likely that it will be so much worse, because for most of human history, so much worse is the norm.
Interesting messages inside that message, am I right? Very interesting. And yeah, it is likely it will get worse. Here's the deal, though. We can make it through things. You know, Sarah's saying, look, and I love the message about fathers, too. And he did this thing on rough tumble and play and how it teaches these kids how to be strong in their bodies, how to react socially, it centers these kids when dads are allowed to, not allowed, but the wife needs to stop, you know, intervening when the dad's playing with kids. The kids need play because it teaches them boundaries. Warren Farrell, who I had on the show, who dates back clear to Donahue's show, right? He was on Donahue. But he was on our show a couple of times, and he talked about the same thing. And salute to all you fathers out there who are doing your best and trying, and you're human, and we get it. And we love you. And I wish people would say that more, especially women. But so as we near Father's Day, that message, I hope that rings loud and true. And we did a lot of that yesterday. But there's a real message of hope that you can get through anything. And we need to teach our kids to have that strength, too, that they can get through anything. They need to rely on God, though, and they can't make it without him. That's probably one of the biggest messages I hope that a good parent, a good mother, good father would teach their children. They won't make it. There's going to be some despair coming our way. There's going to be a lot of problems. There's going to be a lot of issues that are going to test the mettle. But the only way we're going to make it through this is with each other, treating each other the best that we can, and obviously looking toward God for answers on what to do in these scenarios and in these situations. You know, this life is really about the refiner's fire, and we're not going to escape that. Everybody that came before us doesn't get to merit all the sacrifice while we get to just enjoy being here. We're going to have to do something. We're going to have to go through some things here, too, and our mettle will be tested. We've had it kind of on easy street, but that also has been giving us the problems we're about to incur. It's because we haven't been very vigilant about keeping our freedom and our liberty away from government and the hands of government. So, biggest message of the day is you're going to make it through all this. Don't despair so much about what's coming that we lose sight of that. Because we're going to need all hands on deck to help other people get through what we're about to experience in this life. And I really do believe a lot of these things are coming that Sarah talked about. But like she said, she doesn't fear that anymore after she's been where she's been. But we will take our stuff with us. So that's a big lesson, isn't it? But I love the message of, get right with God, get it together, and continue to strengthen those spiritual muscles, because those are the muscles you're going to rely on the most. The other message is do whatever you can to prepare, because I do think we're accountable for that. If you can see and you know and you feel what's coming, then you do have a responsibility to prepare. And that's why we talk about food storage and shortages. You know, the guy about the cow update, he said, this guy was talking about the cows, and Kirk, the wonderful farmer, you know, told me there was a big heat issue that came at night, kind of like the odds of having a tornado happen, right? And there was a big heat burst, and that heat burst, they couldn't handle the change of the weather that quickly, and cows died, a lot of them, 10,000 in the whole state. And there will be those occurrences, and I think there'll be manufactured occurrences too. And that could have been one. Who knows? But we're going to see more things happen that affect our food supply. And we really need to be on guard right now for preparing for our friends, our families, our neighbors. Love you guys. Be faithful. Be fearless. See you back here on Monday next week. And I hope you guys have a terrific weekend. And thank you to all those fathers out there for being amazing and wonderful. We appreciate you. And we'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Ryan from Inside Out Hyperbarics, and today I'm on the radio to say thank you to all of our clients who have allowed us to be part of their healing journeys, from helping those suffering from traumatic brain injury and chronic pain disorders to those with symptoms of autoimmune or the lingering effects of COVID-19 long haulers. It's been an honor you put faith in us to help you through some of your toughest times. So to give back, we will be running monthly specials to celebrate our upcoming 6-year anniversary. To find these specials, check us out on the web at InsideOutHyperbarics.com. Inside Out Hyperbarics, bringing out the best in you.